We were discussing the Gemara here on Chav Beis through Chav Gimel. We ran through it last time. I just want to go through the end a little more and just remind us what we were doing. So we were discussing the topic of Eish and the debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish of whether Eisho is Mishum Chitzav or Eisho is Mishum Mamona. Very pivotal argument, not only in Bava Kamma, right, primarily in Bava Kamma, but as we'll see, possibly, or at least this is a topic, you know, what is the status of Eish in other areas of Halacha? Right, a very important question. Hilchos Shabbos, Netilas Yadayim, Shechita, right? So what about Rotzeach? What is the status of wherever you, when you need the person's, you know, input or action, actions that are triggered by Koach Achar Me'urabo, the equivalent of Eish, like in harnessing or integrating other forces, what is their legal standing? So that's a topic that we'll hopefully discuss as well. Yeah, I didn't say anything yet, but was there a question? I thought I saw the hand up. Oh, you didn't have a hand up. Oh, okay, good. So, this is more of a stretch than a question. Good. So, just to get us back to where we were. So the Shakavatarya and Chav Beis Amud Aleph to Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, we're going to go back to the end because we were running towards the end. Basically, the Gemara records a debate. This is the beginning. Itmar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Eishem Shemchitzav, right? Rabbi Reish Lakish, Amar Eishem Mishum Amono. Reish Lakish Maitam Alamar Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lachitzav Mikoach Ka'azil Hai Lo Mikoach Ka'azil. Rabbi Yochanan Maitam Alamar Reish Lakish Amar Lach Mamona Ispe Mamasha Ha Leispe Mamasha. So this is the Gemara. This is a very organized Gemara, basically. The Gemara, you know, begins by stating the two views, and it doesn't always happen this way. Each advocate, right, also explicating why he rejects the other view. So it emerges that their two views are mutually exclusive. If you hold one, you don't hold the other. That the Gemara will, you know, retract in the end, but that's what the Gemara holds here. And but the arguments against each position are so good that you know, you wonder why either position is valid. So again, Rabbi Yochanan said that Eisho is Mishum Chitzav, which means that we look at a fire that a person is responsible for. Tosis points out, it doesn't mean that he started the fire, it could just mean that he mismanages it. Right? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we look at it as if it's Chitzav Shal Adam, as if he shot an arrow, which means Koach Adam, which is Adam Abazik, basically. And Reish Lakish said that that really is hard to swallow, because in the end of the day, you know, it isn't really Koach Adam. It's much more passive. There are other, you know, factors that are mixed in. So, you know, why should it be considered Chitzav Shel Adam? And Reish Lakish said it's Mamono Shel Adam, in the same way that a shore, you know, is something, you're responsible for the actions of your shore, you're responsible for the actions of the Eish that you control, right? And Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't think that that's very convincing, because a shore is a living being, right? And it's a concrete force, and Eish is an inanimate, right, amorphous kind of a force. It's leis be mamash. So that's the debate. And at the beginning, the Gemara is searching for nafkaminas, and what we saw so far was that Rashi comes up with one of his own that Tosus disagrees or disputes. Rashi says that an obvious distinction between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is that Reish Lakish, who says Eish Mishum Mamono, should require ownership of the Eish in some way. And Tosus thinks that's not true. Tosus says you don't have to be the owner of the Eish, just like you don't have to be the owner of the bar. He disagrees with that suggestion of Rashi. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, you know, will make you liable for Eish, which is not your under your ownership or sovereignty. Okay, so that's one interesting point. Then the Gemara goes on from there to record several other nafkaminas. This is what we spent time on last time. On the bottom of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, in the middle to the bottom of Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, which is why it's connected to the Mishnah and Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara discusses the nafkamina, what we call Chitzav Shel Kelev, or Chitzav Shel Behema. Namely, what happens if a person doesn't start the fire, or is not responsible for the fire, but an animal spreads the fire. Okay? So if your animal, if my animal, blame it on me, my animal spreads the fire, right? Do I have any liability in that or not? And the idea being that there is a concept called sroros. Sroros means the my animal does something not directly, but through its koach, right? Koach. A behema is called sroros, and you're only chayv chatzi nezek for sroros. So if an animal triggers or mismanages, and the result is that there is a fire, right? That's called, is that called koach habehema for tzroros purposes? The answer is if eish is chitzav equals koach, then it is. So then, whenever my animal, my dog, my camel, you have two cases in the Gemara. One is a case of a dog, another case of a camel, so it totally doesn't matter. Right, if my animal is responsible for spreading a fire, so according to Rabbi Yochanan, says the Gemara, there should be the Baal, the owner, should have to pay chatzi nezek. Because chitzav shel kelev, or chitzav shel gamo, chitzav shel behema, right, is a chayev tzroros, and if esho is mishum chitzav, then that's the case as well. No one in the Bavli ever suggested that the question of Eishim Shem Chitzav, you know, might be limited to human involvement in fires. Because they think that this question of Chitzav is an objective enough question, just a question kind of assessing, you know, the ramifications, you know, of being connected to and responsible for the spread of a fire, and that doesn't matter who is responsible, the person or an animal. But it's actually, you know, points in the direction of being a kind of more objective problem. In other words, if I think Eish is the threshold of Chitzav, so that should be true for humans and for animals. Whereas, one of the things that we've been discussing, if we think that even Rabbi Yochanan doesn't really think it's Chitzav Mamish, it's more of a, what I called, a Niske Mamon, you know, kind of Chitzav, the closest thing in the world of this kemamon to chitzav, you're mazik al yedei ha'esh, rather than esh shocha, you know, mazik, but that's all we really mean. So then the idea that, you know, in addition to everything else, you might have said, well, chitzo shel adam, esh shel adam is chitzav, but esh shel, you know, behema isn't necessarily chitzei behema, right? But to be fair, I think that would have been a very reasonable comment. The Gemara doesn't make it, of course. The Rishonim don't make it. So apparently it isn't so. But it's something to think about. Maybe the Yerushalmi believes in it, or maybe Lamaskana, we believe in it. I'll explain what I mean by that. Anyway, so the first two cases of the Gemara, but one nafkamina, is this question. Because the cases in the Gemara are cases where the Keleb, or the Gomel, spreads a fire, and therefore, if Esom Shum Chitzav, the Chitzav Shel Keleb V'Gomel, the Bichayev Chatzin Ezek, as opposed to if it's mamono, well, it's not the mamon of the bala gabal, it's not the mamon of the bala kelev. Right, a kelev, you know, walks into somebody else's table, jumps up, takes a hot cookie, you know, which has a coal inside, or the charora, and then he, you know, gallops off, and I guess a kelev doesn't gallop? Ah, I hear that. Canters off? No. What does he do?
Trots.
What?
Trots.
Tracks?
Trots.
Trots. No, trots is too leisurely.
He runs.
Saunters. I like saunter. Trots is leisure, but yeah, I hear. Either way, yeah, off he goes, right? And off he goes, and he triggers this this fire. So basically, the Bala Kelev doesn't own and has nothing to do with the Eish. Right? So if Eshos Mishum Amono, then he's off the hook. Of course, the real owner of the fire has nothing to do with the damage. He presumably is off the hook too. Okay. So that's the first two. Then the third, the next nafkamina, again, we had, do you need to own the Eish? That's Rashi and Tosis. What is the status of Chitzav Shel Behema? Is it Chatzi Nezek or zero? That's the Gemara. Then the third case of the Gemara, the third nafkamina of the Gemara, is what we, roughly speaking, right? Kum le bedraba mine. Okay, but it's very meduyak that the Gemara doesn't use the expression kum le bedraba mine at this point. But the Gemara says if you have a an eved kafus, if you tethered, you know, you tied up an eved, right, so that you know he can't escape the flame, and then you know caused the flame, and he died in the flame. Right, and in addition to the Eved dying, there also was monetary damage. The Gedish, or the Gedi nearby, also got destroyed. So the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, you would be potter for the mammon. Right, and according to Reish Lakish, you would be chayev for the mammon unless you actually torched the Eved directly. In other words, the fire didn't spread and then, right, kill the Eved, but you actually directly torched him. Right? That's not called, right, that's not pleasant to think about. None of it is very pleasant. You know, so hopefully none of it happened. But meaning that's not called Eish, which is Mishum Chitzav or Mishum Mamono. That is called Adam Amaz, direct, or Adam Arotzeach, right, Adam Chovel. That's what I mean, b'mokom gachalasa. You know, when you put the fire right on him, that's not our topic at all. It's a fire that spread through fuel, that spread through fuel and wind. That's our topic. Anyways, in the end of the day, that's of course a very, that's the next nafkamina. That is, if you think chitza, eishav, mishum chitzav, that eish is considered to be koach ha'adam, right, then basically you killed on some level. You either killed or you are responsible for killing this Eved. And once that is true, then we apply the principle of kum le bedraba mine, namely you don't pay for the monetary component. However, if you hold that Esho is Mishum Mamono, as the Gemara puts it here on Chabes of the Beis, right? So if your shor killed an Eved, right? So you then are exempt from the monetary component of the damage? Not at all. Because there's no kamalei bedraba mine in maisa mamoncha. That's what the Gemara says here. Right? Toshma amad legis hagadish v'yigadi kafus. This is three lines down from chaf beis on beis. In a case where the Eved isn't tied up, but he doesn't move, he doesn't leave, that's his own problem, that's right, so chayit. But Eved kafaso gedi samuchlo v'nisrafimo potter. So the Gemara says, bisham adamanda eishim shumchitzam shumachi potter, although it doesn't say the words kam leib dravamine, Rashi does, but the Gemara doesn't. And lamanda eishim shumamona my potter, ilu katal Tura, right, Turei rather, Avda, if his shore, if Reuven's shore killed an Eved, Hokanami de Lomachayev, there would be an exemption of money based on Kamal Drabamine? And it says, no, Kamal Drabamine only applies in Maisa Ha'adam, right, a capital action attributed to a person. So is that what happens here? When he burns down, when he starts a fire and it spreads and it burns down the Eved? The answer to that depends whether Eishim Shemchitza or Eishim Shemamona.
Is the Adam Chayv Mitzah?
What? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omalach Rabbi Shem, if he did it, b'meizet. Omalach Rabbi Shem b'lok, eishacha b'mayaskinim, kishahitzis begufo shal Eved. And here the Gemara uses the expression, dekam lebed rabamine. So I was saying last time, and we'll get back to it, the simple pshat of this Gemara, and Rashi says it earlier, is that even when we talked about Rabbi Yochanan, it's kam lebedraba mine. That if you look at Rashi Dibra Maskel, Eved kafaso gedi samuchlo v'nisrfo imo potter. Rashi says a gedi v'agadish. Your potter on the gedi, the kid, the animal that got destroyed, v'agadish and on the tvua. Dikamle b'drabamine shahu eved nerag the sivna komina came. Right? So Rashi says kamle b'drabamine. All the Rishonim, most of them, understand kamle b'drabamine. But Rav Velvel in the Chiddush HaGriz, Hilchos Rotzeach, makes the diuk that the Gemara only mentions the words kamle b'drabamine when they talk about Reish Lakish, but hitzitz v'gufo shaleved. So he thinks that it really isn't kamle b'drabamine. He thinks it's something that's it's a very related issue, but not called kofar. I don't want to get into the details right now. You can look it up. It's a very fascinating piece. But the takeaway from it is, he denies, even if you hold Eishim Shemchitza, he was of the opinion that you are not involved in an act of Rotzeach. Eish might be Chitzav, but it's not Rotzeach. We'll get back to this. He notes that the Ran, in his Chidushim on Masachat Sanhedrin, right, already preceded him in saying this. The Ran in Sanhedrin, we'll get to it, an Ayin Zayin Omen Aleph, we'll get to that case, says explicitly that in his opinion, even if you hold Eishim Shemchitzav, you're not a Rotzeach. He does not, the Ran there, does not, it would have been tremendously helpful if he had, tell us what he does with this Gemara. What does he do with our Gemara here? It's true the Gemara doesn't say the words Kamal B'Ravamine, but clearly they think that Eishim Shemchitzav has connection to some sort of capital crime, right? Maybe he interprets right Rav Velvel does, that there's more than one din. Maybe he's responsible for the death, but he's not a murderer. Maybe that's enough for the equivalent of kamle b'drabamine. There are different things to say, but I don't want to get into it right now. Or, this is very intriguing, maybe he thinks that this connection is all part of the havamin of the Gemara. But that when the Gemara comes to its conclusion on Chav Gimel and Aleph, which we're going to get to in a second, that all of that gets dropped. The Ran doesn't tell us that that's what he holds. That's not Rav Velvel holds. But I think that that's a possible way to explain the Ran, Udi'imei. And I'll explain what I mean by that very soon. Okay, so that is, so Chitz of the Kalev, Mamon Shalbailim, and Kamle B'drabamine, or close to it. These are three Nafkamina. Then the Gemara has a fourth Nafkamina, and that's what we call Tzavta Deshota. That's the case here. The Gemara says, Toshma, Hasholeach Esa Be'ira, Biad Cherishota V'Katan. Right, you sent forth a fire. You put a fire in the hands of an incompetent person, a minor, or otherwise incompetent person. So the Gemara says that the Brisa says, "Potter medine adam v'chay medine shemai." I'm sorry, the Mishnah says, "Potter medine adam v'chay medine shemai." Meaning, we can't take you to, it's not actionable in court, right? But morally, right? Well, you know, you should be liable. But if you're a mensch, you'd pay. Okay? Meaning the Godal, who put it in the hands of the Cherishot of the Katan. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Alamandar Meshim Shem Chitzav, if you say Eshim Shem Chitzav the Cherishu. The reason that you're potter is because your action, namely putting it in the hand of this incompetent person, is in a way usurped by his action. What we really say is the destruction belongs to the person who did it. And the doer, right, is the cheirashot of a katan. So it's a maisa katan, a maisa of an incompetent. You can't be responsible for a maisa of an incompetent. Elamand amar eshim shimamono, but if you're talking about esh not being considered an action of the person who instigates the fire, but we're talking about being responsible, right, for the destruction of the eish because it's mamoncha, ilo masar shoro lecheirashot v'katan, hachanami lo mechayev. Let's say you hand over your animal to an incompetent person, and you know because he's not able to do a proper shmirah job, right? That animal would go out and do damages, right? So you're going to say, oh, it's in the under the protection of the Cheirashot of a Katan. No, but putting it under the Cheirashot of a Katan is already the Pshia. Right? So why don't you say the same thing about the Eish? You gave this Eish, you literally gave fire to a child, to an incompetent. So if your assessment, if you need to establish who burnt down, you know, the neighbor's barn, right, Chitzav, that's Cheresh of the Vekata, that's the Maisa Cheresh. But if you want to figure out who is irresponsible to leave, you know, a destructive force in the hands of an incompetent, right? That's the first spell, that's the Gadol. So that's what the Gemara says. That is another nafkamina. Chitzav de Cheresh or Shmiras HaCheresh. Ilum Asa Shora LeCheresh HaTavakata. I'm treating it like a shore. If you notice, in the previous case, right, treating it like a shore made it Chayiv. Because there's no Petur Kam Lemdram Mine. Here, because it's, in other words, because it's less. Here, it makes it more Chayiv for the opposite reason. Here you're Chayiv because, you know, we don't care about the intervening layer, the Cheresh HaTavakatan. We care that you place this destructive object, you know, in incompetent hands. Right? Okay. So that is the... then the Gemara says, Mar lo, Amar Eish Lakash, Mishmei Techitzke, lo shanu l'bishamasar, lo gochelos v'liva, abamasar shalhev es chayiv. One view is that it depends what you give to the katan. You give him a coal, right, which needs fanning, basically. Otherwise, if you leave it as it is, it's not going to do any harm. Or did you give him a shalhevas? You gave him an actual torch, a fire. Then you chayiv, my time, a boriazek. And Rabbi Yochanan said, I feel a shalhevas, potter, kasavar tzat the decherish, kugarim, even if it's a shalhevas. But if you get something like totally flammable, right, then everybody agrees that would be chayiv. Okay, then fine. This is the shock of Tari the Gemara. So the Gemara basically has one, two, three, at this point, three nafkamina, and according to Rashi, there's a fourth nafkamina. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, pro umasnita mesayilin Rabbi Yochanan, pro desiv ki teitzei eish, teitzei me'atzma. Yishalem amaber sabeira shma mina eishem mishem chitza. So the psukim, and that's what the mission says too. Nasnita the tanya, the mission says pasach hakasu b'nitzkei mamona. The siyam b'nitzkei gufo lo melacha eishem mishem chitza. So this is the point. In the Torah, we speak about eish as if it happens, as if it's like an impersonal, you know, davar de mimela ki teitze eish, as if the eish, you know, is a reality in its own right. The first time we encounter the word Eish is not connected to a person. And yet we say that the person who is obligated to pay is the Mavir. Right? So how did the Kiteitze Eish become a Mavir? The answer is Eisho Mishimchitza. So again, at this point in the Gemara, I think the Gemara really wants to say that we're taking very literally Eisho Mishimchitza. Meaning we truly perceive it as Kolachad. What are you going to say with this pasuk if you moderate it a little bit? The answer is not such a difficult answer. Right? If you think that Eishem Shemchitzav isn't really Koach HaAdam, but it's something just a little bit less, or it's the max, you're maxing out, you know, Koach HaAdam within the world view of Nizkei Mamon, but it's still a Nizkei Mamon, then actually it's even better. Because pasuk HaKasav, in other words, if you want to say it's pure Koach HaAdam, so then the resha, if you will, kiteitzei eish, is just a setup. Everything is in the seifa, hamavir. But if you take what I call the more moderate view of eishem shemchitzav, namely it isn't koach ha'adam, right? It's the most extreme and adam-oriented of the nizkei mamons, so then actually the resha and the seifa are good. It's kiteitzei eish, pasach ha'kasav v'nizkei mamon, the siyam, right, bechitzav, hamavir, as if to say, this is the mavir within the framework of nizkei mamon. Right? Which is, as we'll soon see, I think that's what the Rambam actually holds, and I think that's how he read the psukim and how he read the Gemara. But I think that the Rambam's read, as I'll show in a minute, only came after the Gemara's transition, which I'll explain in a minute. Okay. So this is where we are in the Gemara. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav, we read it last time, but we were running. This is a very crucial part. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, kasher l'abaya, l'man d'amar v'shem chitzav, tomen be'esh, d'pater rachmane, hechem mishkach asla. Okay? This becomes a crucial question. This becomes potentially no nafkamina, explicit nafkamina in the Gemara, number 4. But the Gemara finds it difficult to live with this one. This should be a nafkamina. Namely, the p'tur and eish of tamun, which is actually machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, in Mishnayos later on in Akones. Right, we'll see in a minute. So the p'tur of tamun, of the Rabbanon, says the Gemara, should not apply if you hold Eishem Shemchitza. Why? So here there are different explanations why. Right? Rashi, the first pshat, says, Ilu Adam Zarak Chetz Vihizik B'tamon Lo Mechai B'nezek Hakayim Olam B'hai Pirka Petzatakas Patzah L'chayim V'zashon Kemez and V'onis Karatza. So the first lashon of Rashi says, well, if we take literally that Eish is Chitzav Shaladam, is Chitzav Shaladam have a Petur Tamun? No. Meaning, if you Adam Amazik, there's a Petur Tamun? Or he destroys somebody's property. It matters whether or not it was Galui or Tamun, the real value? No. So Hu Adin, the same thing is true in Eishem Shem Chitzav. Why should Eish have a Petur Tamun? That's Rashi. The second day of Rashi is the opposite. Lishna Achrina, says Rashi, Hay Chetz Li'olam B'Tamun Hu Nichnas Umazik. A Chetz, Rashi isn't, in the second pshat, the Perush is not saying, well, legally, if Eish is Chitzav, namely, it's Adam, so if there's no Tamun by Adam, there's no Tamun by Eishem Shem Chitzav. That's what he's saying. The saying is, oh, you want to characterize Eish by using the terminology Chitzav? The terminology Chitzav, not the category Koach Adam, the terminology Chitzav implies a Chiyuv Tamun. Because what is a Chetz? A Chetz is an arrow. An arrow does damage typically by penetrating beneath the surface. So apparently the damage that it does beneath the surface is chayiv. But that is such a strange perush. I mean, such an interesting perush. But the only reason for such a perush is the desire to avoid the first perush. Why would you want to avoid the first perush? It's very reasonable, actually. The answer is, if you think that Eishem Shemchitzav cannot be taken literally even by Rabbi Yochanan, meaning, does Rabbi Yochanan really mean that Eish is Adam Amazik? That gets into all sorts of other problems, as we've already noted, and we'll see again tonight. Right? So that first pshat of Rashi says, Eishem Shemchitza means Adam Amazik, and Adam Amazik doesn't have a Petur Talmud. And the second pshat says, implicitly, I know that Eishem Shemchitza is not literal, in the sense of it being Adam Amazik, but still, the terminology, Chitzav, you know, does imply that there's no Petur Talmud. But that's a statement within this kemamo now. Because once you say the Adam Amazik part, you don't even need the linguistics anymore. Okay? Tosas kind of sounds somewhere in between. Tosas says, Tomun be'esh to patar achman echem mishkakas bishlom l'man damar eshem mishum amono. He basically says the first pshat of Rashi, but he tempers it a little bit by starting in the opposite direction. In other words, if you hold eshem mishum amono, ein tema to patar the Ptor Tamun. Afagav, the Chomnis came Mamun, come a Kerashin, Varego Chayv Tamun. Right? Sheba Mamun Matsinu, Chilukim, Bekeren, Shein, Varego, Lehokosei. So it's just interesting the way he starts. It's not as extreme as Rashi in the first parish who says, well, Tadam Amazik, there's no Ptor Tamun. Right? He starts out by saying, well, if it's Eishem Shum Amono, then Ptor Tamun isn't bad. Because Niske Mamun is characterized by these, you know, unanticipated, challenging, you know, pturim that we call hilchosei. Karen only pays that price. Shana regalav pturim shusarabim, right? And so on. Bor has you know, to Kalin, you know, etc. So he's going to have Talmud. But he says, right, Aval, that's the other part. That's the Rashi part. But he doesn't start with that. It's almost like, you know, Talmud's out there, and, you know, we have to make the best of it. In Mammon, it's not a problem. In Chitzav, you know, it's very unlikely. But Rashi's first day is stronger, and Rashi's second day is much weaker. So you have kind of a range of three presentations in the question of the Gemara. We'll see in a minute that the Gra thinks that the Gemara wasn't convinced that it's impossible conceptually to have a Ptur Tamun in Eishim Shem Chitzav at all. Even at this point in the Gemara. What is the Gemara saying then? We'll get back to that in a second.
Well, what is the marker for Tamun?
That's it.
Well, how's the Gemara learn out the Ptur Tamun?
How?
Yeah, from where?
The drasha later on Samach Aleph. What?
Is it halacha mishum
sinai? No, no, no. I think they learned it out from a drasha. Mazeh begalui, but yeah, later on. The main point we'll get to in a second. The Mishnah and the Gemara here on what is it? Samach Aleph. Samach Aleph here. Okay, we'll get to it. So, but the point is, that's a machlokas Rav Yehuda in the Chachamim. He paskin like the Chachamim, that there is a Ptur Tamun. So, the question to the Gemara here is saying, how do you have Ptur Tamun for Eishav Shabchitza? Right? Okay. So, the answer is going to be very crucial. So, the Gemara says, so far we've focused three shatim on the question. The Gemara says, V'nichale kagon shenafla dleika l'osa chatzer. And then what happened was that the person started a fire. There was a fence. The fence would have contained the fire, right? The fence was disabled, unrelated to the fire, right? And therefore the fire spread beyond anticipation, and did damage. Says the Gemara, that is the case, tahasam kololo chitzav, for all intents and purposes, the chitzav, the koach ha'adam, is spent, or would have been spent. In other words, when the fire left his aegis, his control, it had a potential to go till point A. Okay? Then circumstances intervened, and it spread beyond A to point B, and that's where it did its damage. That's called kololochitzav, meaning relative to the initial expectation, the Eish has spent its koach. Okay? Says the Gemara, that's what's going on. And therefore, if in its damage beyond the chitzav, right, it damages tamun, it'll be potor. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, le'inyan galui, nami kalo chitzav. Forget about Tamun. If that's the case, why isn't he potter legamri? Forget about Tamun. Right? I lit a fire, or I mismanaged a fire. It only should have gone to point A. Correct? Based on the conditions that existed when it was lit. Right? Then comes some extraneous event, right, which causes, right, the Eish to go beyond the point of Kol Lo Chitzav. So why am I even chayav for that? According to the Man Amar Eishim Shem Chitzav. Kol Lo Chitzav, I should be off the hook completely. Not just Potter for Talmud. Says the Gemara, El Alaman de Islay Mishum Chitzav, Islay Nami Mishum Mamono. This is what I keep calling the turnaround in the Gemara. Okay? Says the Gemara, we have to do an about face. How big an about face? That's what we're going to discuss. But we have to do a bit of an about face at minimum. And that is, originally we thought that Rabbi Yochanan, the Man d'Amar Rav Chitzav, denies Mamono. Now we're saying that the Man d'Amar Rav Chitzav is Seinami Mishu Mamono. Right? Now, according to most Rishonim, what this means is that that was what I just said. Namely, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't think that Mamono and Chitzav are mutually exclusive. There are two dinim of Esh. Okay? So the way it goes is, Ukigon, Shahila Lagodra Velogodra. The same case as before. Namely, when the fire began, it shouldn't have gone beyond point A. Circumstances changed, and now it goes to point B and damages from point A to point B. Okay, so why is it only Pater Mishum Tamon? And why is he not Pater Mishum Galui? The answer is because after the point where the wall or the gadeh, the fence, was disabled, right? So it's kolo chitzav. He's not touching the fire anymore. He can't be held responsible for the chitzav of the fire anymore. But he still had time, right, to put up a barrier to the spread of the fire. In other words, he could have contained the fire. And he didn't. And therefore, we get him on the basis of Esho Mishum Mamono. The Hasam, this is a key line in the Gemara, Shorohu Velotopach Bape. It's like he has an animal. Like, let's say he has an animal, it's in the it's in its container, or whatever it is. It's pen, it's barn, it's whatever it is. Right? Okay. And that's fine. And all of a sudden, some act of nature or something, you know, occurs, and the containment of this animal has been compromised. But he, the owner, still has time, he knows of it, and he has the ability to contain it by doing something else. Just because originally he was a good citizen, and he built a barn, and he locked it up, that means that now he's exempt from, you know, intervening when something else occurs, when he has the ability to do so. I mean, if he's not home, and or it's too late, then of course he's potter, right? But if he can intervene and prevent damage, and he refuses to, that is called shorohu v'lo tapach ba'apei. So the same is true with regard to a fire. Right? That's the case of the Gemara. So that's where you have Talmud.
Why is that
Talmud? No. So that's why it's Chayv Galui.
Right.
But he'll be Potter Mishum Talmud because that's not Eshem Mishum Chitza, that's Eshem Mishum Mamona. That's no different than Reish Lakish. We didn't have a problem with Esho Mishum Mamono having a Ptur Talmud. We have a problem of Eshem Shem Chitzav having a Ptur Talmud for one of the three reasons that we mentioned before. Correct? It's no longer Eshem Shem Chitzav because Kol Lo Chitzav. But just because Kol Lo Chitzav doesn't mean it's not worse than a shore that he could now contain. So there is Eshem Shem Mamono.
Right, the question is what's the difference between Talmud and not Talmud? You're saying it's because
what do you mean?
That was a biased question. What's the difference
between Talmud? No, it wasn't a biased question. Bai's question was, if you hold Esha Mishum Chitzav, what's the difference between Talmud and not Talmud? And the way all the Rishonim are explaining it is, this is only a question if you hold Esha Mishum Chitzav. If you hold Esha Mishum Mamono, then we understand the Ptur Talmud, because it's not so different than other Pturim of Nizkei Mamon. So now if we could only, Lou, if only we could get Rabbi Yochanan to be talking about Esha Mishum Mamono, we wouldn't have a problem. But how do we get that? The answer is Kol Lo Chitzav. But if it's called Lochitza, then he should be Potter for Galui too. Right? The answer is no, because since it is Mamono, if he could rebuild the barrier, and it's like having a shore now. It's like a shore, and therefore there's a Ptur Tamun. It's like a shore, and therefore there's a Chiyuv Galui. Right? So it's kind of a very handy, you know, efficient answer in the Gemara. Okay. But then think of it this way. According to simple reading of the Gemara, what comes out? If I say to you, let's say Paschal like a Yochanan, according to simple reading of this Gemara. So where's the Ptur Talmud going to happen? Only in this kind of a case. Right? We would all agree it's very rare. Extremely rare. The only Ptur Talmud would be if Kol Lo Chitzav, The Efsha Lagodra, or something like that, Efsha Laotzra, whatever you want to call it, Velo Otzar, and then that's the only Ptur Talmud you'd ever have. Okay? Yeah? Good. The problem, as we'll see in a moment, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. The problem is that the Rambam, as we'll see in a minute, doesn't seem to think this is true. Anyway, let's just read the last line of the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, another strange thing in the Gemara, the Chima'achar demand the Islay Chitz of Islay Nami Mishum Amono Ma'ad Benayim. This is a strange line. The Gemara says, well, now that we're saying Rabbi Yochanan believes in Eshem Mishum Amono and Eshem Mishum Chitz of both, so what's the difference between them? That seems strange. The Gemara just had four differences. Right? Chitz of the Kalev, Tzoros, Kamle Bedrava Mine, or something like it. Tzavta, the Chitz of the Cheresh. Correct? And then the Gemara's had a fourth, maybe, Tamun, and according to Rashi, there's a fifth, Mamono. So the Gemara spent the whole daf. They found five nafkaminas. Right? Then they say, oh no, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't dismiss the Reish Lakish. He just says more than Reish Lakish. And then the Gemara says, so what's an afkamina? What do you mean, what's an afkamina? If you only hold Eshem Mishum Mamono, you don't get Kama Medrava Mine. If you only hold Eshem Mishum Mamono, you're going to be Chayiv for Keresh. If you only hold Eshem Mishum Mamono, you don't get Chitz of the Keresh. There are lots of afkaminas. Right? So what's going on here? Anyways, then the Gemara answers, Ikebenayu Lechayiv Abedal Dvarim. They came up with a new nafkamina. Number five or number six, or number four, depending on how you number them. Right? Chitz of the Cheresh? Kamle Bedrava Mine? Right? Chitz of the Behema? Mamono? Tamun? And now, Chavala. You only chayv dal dvarim in Chavala if you hold Eshem Shem Chitz, and not if you hold Eshem Shem Mamono. This bothered the Rishonim, by the way. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, one second. V'chi ma'achar demand the islay mishum chitzav islay nam mishum mamonu may binayu. So Rashi adds, heched ha'gachela shalo. Hoysa. Why does Rashi put that in? Because, like, you know, what happened to his great nafkamina, which is so good that the Gemara didn't even mention it? The answer is, the Gemara means, you know, where the Gachelas belongs to him anyway, so that's not going to be a nafkamina. Everybody agrees the only nafkamina is if it doesn't belong to him. Yeah. Okay. But why? Why? It doesn't work that way, right? You can find, the Gemara's looking for abstract, hypothetical nafkaminas. You know, okay, Rashi wanted to, and then he says, "My ika bein Rabbi Yochanan to mechayv lemishum tarti, the Reish Lakish to lo mechayv lemishum chad." So again, Rashi's trying very hard. Meaning, before we thought they were mutually exclusive. When things are mutually exclusive, it's always easier to find nafkamina, even concrete ones, because each one disagrees with the other. But if Rabbi Yochanan now thinks that there are two truths, two dinim. Shlokish only believes there once. Of course, there are going to be less actual nafkamina, because whatever Reish Lakish says chayiv, Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree. So it's only going to be cases where Rabbi Yochanan says chayiv, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish says pater. Okay. That's what Rashi's trying to say. Instead of saying, well, there's still two different ideas, just Rabbi Yochanan believes they're both of them, and between even within Rabbi Yochanan, which one are you using? And there'll be nafkamina of tamun, depending on what you're using. Okay. I'm just trying to show that Rashi is laboring hard to explain what happened to the last daf of the Gemara. Five nafkaminas. Right? All of a sudden we need the sixth. Pretending that there's nothing left. Lo mechayv alim shum chada. Right? Al koch hacheche de gachela shalo nami pligi. Right? If he owns the gacheles, then presumably they're still going to argue. The Amar and Leel Rabbi Yochanan Eishem Shem Chitzav Amar BeEishon Nami Pligi. Even the Eish that belongs to him, Heche the Gachelas Shalom. Bishlama ad hashta shamina mishum chitza dafka velab mishum amona. Till now we thought everything was mutually exclusive. Who could the amris mamonisa mishasha halais b'mishasha? Like we explained that there's no mamono because it's not substantial enough. Ikebenayu echidisa mamona velaisa chitzav. Okay. We can have cases like, actually, it's another nafkamina, right? Kalokitza. Actually, it's 6-7 nafkamina. Right? The Laman Amrachitza of Dafka Patur. Avil Hashtal Travayu Chayev Mai Binayim. And the answer is, Chayev Bidaladvar. Laman Amrachitza of Nami Machayev Bidle. Msaraf Esho Yad Adam. Chayev Bidaladvar. Mnezek Sar Ripu Vishavas. Boshas Lo. Darmina Bishili Pirkin. Ena Chayev Alaboshas Adshe Miskave. There you need Kabbalah. That's a debate. Ram thinks that it means 4 plus Nezek. The Rashi thinks it means 4, including Nezek, not Boshas. Okay, meaning Eshem Shemchitzav, does it work for Boshas? Is that a Boshas argument or an Eshem Shemchitzav argument? We'll get back to that. Right? Patar Laboshes. Okay. Good. Where am I? The Laman, I'm sorry. Lamandar Mishum Mamona Patar, who I did not mean Dika Benayu Kalhani the Lael. Because Rashi has a problem. So he says, of course, the Gemara didn't mean to say that the only Nafkamina is Dalad Devarim. Because my nafkamina about the mammon is still true, and what about the other nafkaminas in the Gemara before? Like Kelev, the Gamal, the Lamandar Mishum Chitzav Chayv da Mamono, Afagav the Lav Chitzav, the Chitzav Afagav the Lav Mamono Islay, the Lamandar Lesla Chitzav Patur, Elim Kain Misakseches, Kinu Kimdalel, so Haid and Akadal Dvarim Mishum Dafilo Echadagach El Shalo, Mashmul Adiyesh Chiluk Bidivrayim. Another one, or even, you know, when it's his. It's more frequent or ubiquitous. Basically, Rashi is kind of admitting that there's a problem here, but he's saying this is what the Gemara says. Tosas similarly, look at Tosas. My benayu, Tosas says, Hava matzel meimar ikim benayu kolhani de la'el. You could say the nafkaminas, all the nafkaminas that we had previously. Kalev shenato charara, Vanachanuche, and he put it down, Begadish, to Rabbi Yochanan Mishalem al Shara Gadish Chatzi Nezek, Chitzav the Gamal, Lareish Lakish al Shara Gadish Patur, Rabbi Yochanan Afil Lohitz Begufa Shal Eved, Kamle Bidraba Mine, Kamle Bidraba Mine should still be Nafkamina, but Tamun, Hechashalo Kala Chitzav, Chayav Rabbi Yochanan, another great Nafkamina, is that there's no Chiv Tamun in Eshem Shem Chitzav. Right? Only in Eshem Shem Amono. So Tosas basically asked the question, like, what's the Gemara even talking about? What happened to the whole daf? They're throwing out a whole daf? The answer is, no, we're giving another nafkamina. Doesn't sound that way, but that must be what we're talking about. Okay. Not very satisfying. Not Rashi, not Tosas. This is what they say. Okay. Clearly, the printed Rashi, there's another Rashi, the Marshal in the Chachma Shlomo quotes it, and even more extensively in the Yamshel Shlomo. There's another Rashi. But the printed Rashi and the printed Torah and Artosis clearly understood that the Gemara's only revision, the Gemara only backtracked on one big thing, and that is originally they thought Rabbi Yochanan's Eshem Shem Chitzav rejected Eshem Shem Amono. Now they think that Rabbi Yochanan thinks are two dinim. But what the scope or nature or character of those two dinim are, that there's no evidence that there's any change in that. There doesn't have to be a change in that. However, it is possible to suggest, in order to resolve some of these questions, at least, but maybe all of them, that maybe, this is my suggestion for the moment, before we get to the Rambam, but similar to the Rambam, that maybe, well, again, let's remember what we've been talking about all along. Right? All along, we've been noting that there are two ways to understand Eshem Shem Chitzav and two ways to understand Eshem Shem Amono. I called it the extreme way and the literal way and the more moderate way. Right? Eshem Shem Chitzav means literally Adam HaMazik, Or, no, it's not. It's, you know, it's a little bit short of that. Right? The Rambam should deal with it in Hilchos Chovel. The Rambam, it's okay for him to deal with it in the last chapter of Nizkemo. Right? Similarly, Eshem Shemamono, we've had two possibilities. It's really like Shor and Mamon Legamri. Well, the Bali Tosas think you don't have to really own it. Or is it a way of saying that it's, you know, even though it's more Nezek al Yedei, Nezek Adam al Yedei Esho, but it's still Nizke Mamon, in which case the gap between Eshem Shemamono and Eshem Shemchitzav isn't as large. That's the extreme Eshem Shemchitzav and the extreme Eshem Shemamona have a big gap. And if you moderate either one, and especially if you moderate both, there's still different emphasis, but they're a lot closer together. There's a bridging of the gap. Okay? So I'm wondering, right, is that what happened in the Maskana of the Gemara? In other words, when the Gemara originally thought that Eshem Shemamona and Eshem Shemchitzav were mutually exclusive, the Gemara was more inclined to understand each of them, or at least one of them, let's just say each of them for the moment, in a more extreme way. Because they're like Kirchok Mizrach Mimarov, they don't hold by each other. Reish Lakish says, this isn't Adam HaMazik, leave me alone. And Rabbi Yochanan thinks it is. And Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, that's not Mamono, it's Leisbo Mashasha. Right? And Reish Lakish says, I don't care that it's Leisbo Mashasha, it's like a shore. So then the Gemara had four nafkamina, five nafkamina. But once the Gemara says, you know what? Rabbi Yochanan, Schitzav, right, does not deny Mamono. He thinks there are two dinim. So again, it's like the Bali Tosis and Rashi, you could say, well, they're two dinim, but they're both extreme, and they have nothing to do with each other, but they're just both true. So when you don't have one, you can sometimes be covered by the other. Or is the Gemara saying, these are not mutually exclusive because they're not really that different. It's basically a difference in emphasis. So, b'kala lo chitzav, it's pasak akasuv b'diskei momon v'siyem, you know, b'mavir. And that isn't really untrue either, because both of them have to learn out from Pzukim for Eshem v'shemamono. Mamono is not exactly Maisa Shor, it's Maisa Adam Ayde Shoro. And Chitzav is not exactly Adam HaMazik, it's practically Adam HaMazik, but Al Yedei Nizka Mamono. In which case the Gemara then says, if the gap is not that great, then maybe some of these are not nafkaminas. Right? Some of them are not nafkaminas in Mamono, and some of them are not nafkaminas in Chitzav. So what I said before was, I mentioned before, that the Chidush Aran in Sanhedrin says that Eshem Shem Chitzav does not work for Rotzeach. Okay? What is he trying to explain? There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which we're going to talk about anyway. Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about what we call the gravity case. Not a case of gravity, but the gravity case. The Gemara says here in Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, actually two Gemaras really that are important. The Gemara says, Amar Papa, Zorak Tzror, I should have copied this, I'll try to copy it for next week when we finish this up. Amar Papa, Zorak Tzror Lamala, throws the stone in the air, V'hol Chalut Stadin, and it doesn't come down straight, right? It goes to the sides. So the Gemara says, Vaharga, if it kills somebody on the way down, but not straight down to the sides, Chayv. He's Chayv the Rotzeach. Amalei Madreid Rashi the Rapapa, my time of Shem de Koko, right? O Koko Tezalel, Vilav Koko Tezalatachas, El Koko Kochoshu. So the Bali Tosis already point out, right? That and the Rishonim follows suit on this. Why isn't he just chayev if it goes straight down? Right, that's koach acher meurabo. Gravity carries it down. He throws it up, the gravity will carry it down. Correct? Says the Chiddush Aran, it does. It is Koach Acher Me'urabo, but Eishem Shemchitza doesn't apply to Ratzach. Why would he do with the Gemara about Kamlei B'drava Minei? Well, here we're talking about being Chayv B'Shem Rotzeach. Kamlei B'drava Minei case, we're talking about being Potter Mamon because it's a Nefashos case. So Rabelville again tries to say that there are other reasons in that case why you're Potter B'Shem Mamon, it's not Kamlei B'drava Minei. Even if it is Kamlei B'drava Minei, maybe there's a difference between being Chayv for Rotzeach and being considered a Maisa Hariga. Here we're talking about being Chayiv Bishem Rotzeach. But another possibility is that maybe we can extricate ourselves from the Havamin of the Gemara. That's once the Gemara decided that for Rabbi Yochanan, right, Eishem Shum Chitzav is not a stira to Eishem Shum Amono, they're not contradictory. So maybe they're not, and then the Gemara says, Mai Benayu? That's all the Rishonim are bothered. We mean Mai Benayu, right? We have five or six. We've just been doing this for a whole daf. What happened to Kamlei B'drava Minei? What happened to Chitzav Shalkala? What happened to, you know, Chitzav Shalcheresh? What happened to, you know, Talmud we explain. Fine. So maybe the answer is, well, when the Gemara said that Rabbi Yochanan, you know, is flexible to there being two Ashes, maybe that revises each of them, one of them, both of them, the gap between them. So that some of the nafkamina from before no longer exist. We no longer think that Eishem B'Shem Chitzav can be Rotzeach. Because we no longer think it's really Adam HaMazik. We just think it's the highest approximation of that in Nizkei Mamon, but that doesn't make a Rotzeach. Maybe some of the nafkamina of Reish Lakish are wrong now because Pasuk HaKasav B'Nizkei Mamon V'Siyim. Right? Possibly. So this might help a lot. So then that would explain why the Gemara is looking for a new. The problem is, and Chabala is so Pashut. Not sure. But definitely more Pashut than Rotzeach. More Pashut than some of the other Nafkamin, I'm not sure. Either way, this is a possibility. Now, when the Gemara changes its mind, it's not changing its mind about a detail, mutual exclusivity of Rabbi Yochanan, but it's changing its mind about one or both or the gap between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. By the way, which presents an interesting question as well, and that is it possible that Eishem B'Shem Mamono that Rabbi Yochanan endorses is different than the Eishem B'Shem Mamono of Reish Lakish? I think the answer is maybe. Yes. Okay, but let's move to the Rambam instead. So the Rambam is very fascinating, because the Rambam, look here, Perek Yudalet Halacha, what is it, Tesva? On the bottom of the first page, number 28. Oh, take something, drink. Right? This is where the Rambam, now I should make a point of this as well. The Rambam begins his discussion of Eish, if we already read it, in Perek Yudalet Halacha Aleph. Correct? This is line five. That's the Rambam, which has two chidushim. Remember when he says, Amadlik betot sadeh chaveiro, avrad lekachayv l'shalem, because it says, ki teitze eish shalem yishalem amavras ha-be'era, va-be'era me'elvas ha-zikini. Number one, the chidush of the Rambam, said he thinks that the pasuk, ki teitze eish, is referring to madlik betot sadeh chaveiro. All Rishonim thought it was Badlik Patok Shalo, the Avar Lutok Shal Chaveiro. Rashi, Tosos, all the Rishonim. That's just interesting in its own right. Then the second point, as we already noted, Habeira Mi'avos Hazikini. The Rambam needs to tell us that. What's it doing in this game moment and doesn't say it by the others? Similar to the Rashi that needed a Makar for Eish only in the Mishnah. Meaning there's this sense of defensiveness about Eish. Okay, fine. But that's Halach Aleph. The Rambam does not discuss Eishem Shem Chitza, Eishem Shem Mamono until the second last halacha of the parak, which is also the second last halacha in all of Hilchos Niskei Mamon. As he waits till the very end. The last halacha in Niskei Mamon is Avano Sakino Maso, it's a tolda. So the last halacha where he discusses the Av of Eish is the first time he mentions Eishem Shemchitza. That's remarkable. Because he's been talking about this for 14 halachos before he gets to halacha number 50. Right? The first topic I would do in Eish, the first topic I did in Eish, you can't talk about Eish until you talk about Eishem Shemchitza and Eishem Shemamono. So the master classifier, the Rambam, kept it till the very end. And then look how he says it. Number 28. Eish she'avra v'zikas ha'adam v'chav labo. An Eish that damages, that causes assault on a person. Hari ha'mavir chayi ben azakav. U'b'shifta, u'b'ripuyo, u'b'tzaro, u'b'bushaso. Remember I mentioned, you know, the boshas according to the Rambam? Ki'ilu Heziko biyado. Now, the ki'ilu here, I think, is very important. Ki'ilu heziko biyado, but it's not heziko biyado. Right? Meaning, esho isn't chitzo. Esho is kechitzo. She'ava pi she'esho mamono hu. What? Right? Hareu kimi she'hizik b'chitzo. Repeats it again. Kimi she'hizik b'chitzo. What's he talking about? The Gemara's conclusion was that there is both Eishem Mishum Mamono and Eishem Mishum Chitzav. And therefore, in circumstances where Kololo Chitzav, right, where the energy of his original Eish has been spent, if there is still Eishem Mishum Mamono, he'll be Chayim Mishum Eishem Mishum Mamono. And according to the Pashas of the Gemara, that's the only time also you're ever going to get a Petur Tamo. Correct? But the Rambam doesn't say it that way. Before he says, again, he waits till the last possible halakha to mention Eishem Mishum Chitza. And then, the first time he mentioned is it's Ki'ilu Eziko Biyado. That's not the same as saying there are two dinim, and whichever one applies, you'll apply. The Ram says, even though fundamentally Eish is mamon, harehu kimi shehizik b'chitzav. Not there are two dinim, but built on Eisho misho mamono is ki'ilu Chitzav, a totally different reading of the Gemara. The Gemara didn't conclude just that, or primarily that. There are two dinim, and Rabbi Yochanan believes in both of them, and therefore lemaisa, when one doesn't accomplish the chiyuv, the other will. The Rambam read the Gemara as saying, you think there's a tremendous gap and two totally different ideas, Eishem Mishum Mamono, Eishem Mishum Chitzav, there's not. Everybody agrees, including Rabbi Yochanan, Eishem Mishum Mamono, and the Chitzav is built on the Mamono. That's a perfect way of Rava's drasha from before, which is Pasach HaKasuv Kisei Tzeyesh, Pasach HaKasuv Benizke Mamon, V'siem Chayev Hamavir, meaning this Niske Mamon, right, Al Pidin approximates Adam HaMazik, even though it isn't. Why did the Rambam put the dinim of Eishem Shemchitzav in Hilchos Chova with the rest of the dinim of Adam HaMazik? Why did he instead put Eishem Shemchitzav in the last possible halacha, the second last halacha in Niskei Mamon? Because that's the perfect place for it. In his understanding. Better yet, one more second, then I'll take the question. Just hold off 1 second. Yeah? I'm sorry, can you hold off? If you can't hold off, I'll... Okay. What's the Rambam's view of Tamon? The answer is the Rambam holds that there's a Petur Tamon Beish. Okay? Which one is this? Yeah. Halacha Ches. Eishi yotza v'achla eitzim o'avanim, line 18. Eishi yotza v'achla eitzim o'avanim, o afar. Right? The fire consumed trees and stones and dirt. Chai v'shalim. Nemar motza kel kotzim o'sada. Achla gadish. It ate a stacked, you know, produce, a thing of produce. Ukiyotz, b'hoyu kelim t'munim b'toch ha-gadish, our kelim inside. Imhoyu kagon morgim ukli bakar, ukiyotz b'hem b'dvarim shederk n'am she'ay asada litmon b'gadish chayav l'sha. If it's the kind of things that you expect in there, that's not called talmon. Hoyu b'gadim ukli skuchis, ukiyotz b'hem, you know, if you put in his, you know, his all his cash, or begadim, or klischuches, or jewelry, or whatever it is, then he's potter ala kelim. Meaning, what is that? That's the patur talmud. Bamedvar mamurim is based on the Gemara. Bimadlik betoch sadeh chavero, avol madlik betoch shelo, v'avol sadeh chavero, potter al kol hakelim atmunim begadish, avol meshalem shir mokom hakelim ronos hakelim alei gadish shochitim ol shel seorim. When you're madlik betoch sadeh shel chavero, then there's the patur talmud. But if you're madlik betoch shelo, right, then you're potter on all kelim hatmunim begadish. Okay. Is there anything in the Rambam that qualifies the patur talmud to cases, rare cases of kololo chitzav? In other words, nafal ha gader, but he still has the time to build it up. According to the Gemara, what did the Gemara say? If you hold Eishim Shem Chitzav, how do you ever get Ptur Talmud? Answers the Gemara, in a crazy case, right, where somehow, you know, it's Kolo Chitzav, but it spreads anyway because the wall went down, the barrier went down, the containment went down, but you could recontain it, and therefore it's Mamono, not Chitzav. That's how Rashi read the Gemara. That's how it sounds like in the Gemara. So then, if you hold Eishim Shem Chitzav, a typical case of Eishim Shem Chitzav is going to be Chayiv, even for Talmud. All the time. Unless it's Kalo Chitzav. If you're writing a code, you have to say that. Where's Kalo Chitzav in Rambam? So look at the Kesef Mishnah, who points this out. Again, Kesef Mishnah says... Or is it the Magen Mishnah? Sorry, Bhagavad Mishnah. On the next page, page 2, line 5. Eish avra vizika sa'ada. Right? Zemivur pekeh sa'regel, beplukta deri, rim rab yochanan, upasak rab yochanan, damar eishav shemchitza. Vani tema, akashu posak rab yochanan, if the Rambam paskins eishav shemchitza, eichlo chilek betamun, kamosha chilek usham asugya. How come we're not getting a very, very limited Ptur Tamun, like the Gemara? The Lomashkachina Larib Tamun Patur, the only time you can have it is Kishanafal Gader Shalom Machmas Leika, right? Kalochitzav, the barrier fell down, Vahoyla Ligdor, Velo Gadro, right? So where is that halach in the Rambam? The answer is, says the Magid Mishnah, I'm not sure. But it's fascinating. V'ulai sh'rabbeinu mefarsha v'panam acheros. Ram must have some other interpretation. The efshar sh'daito sh'ein l'haniach pshat ha-mishnayis v'abraisos v'amemros sh'lo chilka b'tamun v'pnei asugya. He's just pointing out, you know, if you read the Mishnayis and you read the other Gemaras in Akones, which are the main Gemaras of Eish, right, you do not get the impression, you know, that if you hold that Rabbi Yochanan is going to limit the Ptur Tamun to this one very rare, very convoluted case. It still doesn't explain it. So what? So the Rambam either had a different Perush, or the Rambam thought this Gemara is a Das Yachid? What's the answer? Again, all these could be true also. I mean, it's hard to know what came first, the chicken or the egg. You know? But basically, the answer seems to be what the Magid Mishnah is not considering. And by the way, Chaim, Rav Velvel, they both talk about Eishim Shem Chitzav. I think I mentioned Revelville, you know, like the Kiddush Aran, was insistent Eishem Shemchitza doesn't, you know, is not Chayiv Mishabotzeach. Reb Chaim thought that Eishem Shemchitza, you know, doesn't apply to a Tolda, whatever. None of them pick up on this Rambam. It's just shocking. I mean, they all treat Eishem Shemchitza as if, like, the Rambam has no unusual Shita about it. Okay. But he does. Both where he put it and how he says it, clearly the way the Rambam read the Gemara was, not that there are two separate dinim, and the only time you have Eishem Shemchitz, the only time you have Talmud is when it's only Eishem Shemamono. He read the Gemara as saying that Eishem Shemamono is omnipresent, it is always the framework and the foundation for Eishem Shemchitzav. That's the answer. It's the way the Rambam read the Gemara was. The Gemara says, what? Eishem Shemchitza, Eishem Shemamono, they're mutually exclusive. And Chitzav is like on a mamazik. And Mamono is like a shore. So how do you get a Ptur Talmud if you hold Eishem Shemchitza? Right? And the Gemara answers, you're right, we have to reassess. Not that there are two dinim for Rabbi Yochanan. For Rabbi Yochanan, the din of Eishem Shemchitzav is rooted in and an expression of Eishem Shemamono. Ah, once you say that, then the Ptur Talmud is not so terrible anymore. You don't have to limit it to Kal Lo Chitzav and so on, and Yachal Ligdar Velo Gadar. Right? So then, you want to look back at the other Nafkaminas, maybe they don't exist anymore either. I said that even without this Rambam. So it's fascinating, the Gra noticed that the Rambam and the Rif read the Gemara differently. If you look here at the Gra, but he doesn't have exactly this pshat. But okay, look at the Gra Osalef. Near Be'enai, Harifa Rambam Mefarshim Shechazar Meteirutz Harishon Kegon Shenafla Omefarshim Dechiyav Chitzav Hu Mishum Mamono. You have to look, it's a very long Gra, Tafir Chesiv Katan Limelabit Gimel. But one of the things that he says is really fascinating is the following, and then I'll take your question, I'm sorry to delay you. But I haven't forgotten. The Gra says the following. Remember when the Gemara asked the question originally, the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Kashalei Labaya, Lamanda Amar Yishim Mishim Chitzav, Tamun Be'esh Depata Rachman Heichim Mishkachas La. Like this, only the Gra could say something like this. The Gra says, what do you mean, Heichi Mishkachasla? Heichi Mishkachasla is a strange usage. It sounds like, oh, we can't find the case. What do you mean, can't find the case? You should say, you know, it's, you know, it doesn't make sense. In a Mistaber, what do you mean, Heichi Mishkachasla? Ah. So the Gra says the following. If you look at Ansamech, Aleph, on the base, for a minute, this, we read it in the Rambam just a second ago also. This is fascinating. Just look at the Mishnah for a minute on Samech Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Amadlik Asagadish, Vayibo Kalim, but this is the main din of Talmud. Bedolko, right? The person puts fire, sets fire to someone else's stalk of Tzvua, and there were Kalim hidden inside, and they burnt up. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishali, Masha, Betocho. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe in the Ptur Talmud. He thinks you're Chayiv. Chachamim, Omer, we Paschal, like the Chachamim. And a Mishali, Mele Gadish, Shalchitin, O Shal Sorin. But he doesn't pay the stuff inside. Okay? Fine. Then the Gemara says, Omer, Rav Kahana, Machlokes, Bimadlik, this is where the Rambam got it from. Although the Rambam flipped it, it's very important. He flipped the order. I think he did that because his understanding of the Pasuk is the opposite. Okay. Hamadlik, ma machlokas bimadlik betok shalo, vaho chaviachla tok shal chavero. The argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is when he was madlik betok shalo, and ho chaviachla betok shal chavero. That's the scenario of kitetse eish, according to Rashi, Tosfos, most Rishonim. But if you'll know, remember the Rambam in Perek Yudalid, Halacha Aleph, seems to say that the prime scenario of Eish is Madlik Shel Chavero. That's why even when he has his Bamed Vamamurim, he flips it, I think. My theory. But I think it's correct. Anyways, so that's Madlik B'Tok Shelov, Ochum B'Tok Shel Chavero, Derim Mechayiv, Anizke Tomen Be'Eish, Rabbanim Patri. Have a madlik betoch shol kavero divrakom mishalim komash betocho. But if you directly madlik betoch shol kavero, right, then you're chayiv. Okay. Says the Gra, this is brilliant. Gra says, that's what the Gemara meant when it said, Tomun be'esh, the Rabbi Yochanan, hechi mishkachasla. Why? Says the Gra, and you could argue with this, but it's just a fascinating insight. Says the Gra, one of the differences between esha mishum amono and esha mishum chitzav is also going to be how you perceive, right, this whole fire. How do you look at this fire? Right? So, if you hold Eishim Shumamono, so you did what you did at the moment that you did it. I mean, you lit the fire, so you became the Bala Eish, literally or according to Bali Tosis, just legally, whatever. Right? When were you Madlik? The second that you were Madlik. Where were you Madlik? Wherever you were Madlik. B'tol Shokha, correct? But says the Gra, if you hold Eishem Shemchitzav, so it's all your koach, right? So it's like you're continuously lighting this Eish, and that has impact not just on the temporal question. He doesn't talk about the temporal question. We'll get to the Mukhi Yosef in a second. It has impact also on the geographic question, meaning when I lit the thing in my field and it spread into your field, is that madlik betoch sholi v'avar? Or is that madlik betoch sholi and then madlik betoch shel chaveri? Because eisho v'shem chitzav. I threw the stone, so when the stone is traveling from its origin point to its destination, all along the way, I'm throwing the stone. Well, that's a question, but you could say that, right? Says the Gra, that's the pshat. He said, it's not impossible to conceive that according to Rabbi Yochanan, conceptually, there would be a Ptur Tamun just because Eishos Mishum Chitzav. The problem is Heichin Mishkachasla. How you can find a Heichatimtzi? Because every time your Madlik, did the Gemara say that the only time you have Tamun, even according to the Chachamim, is if your Madlik Patok Shalo, the Avar L'Shal Chavero. But conceptually, that never happens. It's always madlik betoch everywhere. You're always madlik betoch shel chavero, so you should always be kind for tamun. What? No. So then, right. So then the Gemara originally thought its answer, and then the Rambam comes along and says, no. It is a shem chitzav, but it's a chitzav which is based on mamono. So it's not considered that you're madlik betoch shel. No, it's a moderation. A moderation of what we originally thought that chitza means, like you throw a stone. Right? And Reish Lakish said, that's why I don't think you're wrong. And Rabbi Yochanan said, well, that's the threshold. That's how we originally thought of it. If that's the case, then not lo yitachein legally that there would be a Ptur Tamun, like Rashi says, like Tosa says the Gra. No. The problem is Heichin Mishkachasla. Where do you ever get a situation which is not the legal equivalent of Madlik B'Tosh Shokhavero? Because you could be Madlik B'Tosh Shokha, but it's you Madlik B'Tosh Shokha, and you consider like you're Madlik B'Tosh Shokhavero. But when the Gemara's answer is, they're not mutually exclusive, Chitzav is built on Mamono, what we're saying is, So there's where you lit the fire, and then there's where the fire spread. Legally, you're still responsible, but we don't consider it Madlik Betoch Shel Chavero. Once we don't consider it Madlik Betoch Shel Chavero, there's a Ptur Tamun. Because we're not intellectually rejecting Ptur Tamun if it's Chitza. We're just can't find a Hechatimtzi for it. Hechat Nishkachasla. That's the Grah. That's an amazing. It's very similar to, obviously, the way I'm reading the Rambam, but some of the other Dukim does that. But, so this, of course, leads to, we'll stop here, but we'll talk next week when we finish this up, the famous parallel time question of the Mukhi Yosef. I say the single most famous Mukhi Yosef of all time. Wow. Before I do, I'm sorry. You had a question. And then I'll just mention because then we'll stop.
No, it just means that the Rambam, in answering the question of my denial, he doesn't go along with the Gemara.
The final Gemara, Kabbalah.
He said the overriding factor is Mammon.
That's how he's reading the Gemara. For him, the transition, that's what I mean. For him, the transition in the Gemara is a qualitative one. It's not just that the Gemara said, oh, they're not mutually exclusive, he holds two dinim. He holds what you thought Rabbi Yochanan meant, which was Eshem Shem Chitza, literally, is incorrect. What he means is, it's a Chitza which fuses with and is built on top of Mamono, and therefore the whole qualitative relationship is different.
Yeah.
And that answers the Talmud question. That answers some of the other questions. For example, Rambam doesn't paskin Tzavta v'Cheresh. Could be for other reasons. His Psak in Kamla v'Drava Minei, as Rebelva points out, is a little tricky. Rebelva doesn't give this answer. He just thinks he gives his other answer. I mean, there are numerous indications, I'm pointing out. He doesn't even mention, how come he doesn't mention Chitzav till the end? Because he answers, the way he reads the Gemara, Mamono and Chitzav is just is what it is.
So Rashi also agrees with that. It is unwritten Rashi.
No, Rashi thinks, at least the printed Rashi, I'm not talking about the Amshar Shlomo's Rashi, which is closer to the Rambam, that no, the Gemara just says our two dinim. Two separate things. There's Eshem Shem Mamono and Eshem Shem Chitzav. Even then, I was suggesting, once you say that, maybe you should be revising how different they are. But they're still two different factors. For the Rambam, they're not two different factors. They're one integrated category. They call it Esha Mishum Mamono / Chitza. For Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, so let me mention the Mukhi Yosef just in the question, the famous question. The Mukhi Yosef says, how to understand how people can light Neiros Shabbos. You have to write Neiros Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, of course. He says, but if we paskin Eshem Mishum Chitza, right? So you're connected to the burning. As the candle is burning, it's like you're lighting it. So why aren't you in violation of Melechas Mavir? No, I mean, it's one of those questions that you know is wrong, but you have to figure out why it's wrong. So the Mukhi Yosef came up with the idea, parallel to the Gra's conclusion and opposite of his question. He said, oh, but again, it's based on the same question, basically. What the Mukhi Yosef is asking about time is exactly what the Gra was asking later about place. The Gra was saying, you lit it in your field. But as long as it burns to his field, it's like you lit it in his field. Because that's what Chitza means, right? So the Mukhi Yosef says, you lit it at, 20 minutes before Shkia. 18 minutes before, whatever it is. Right? But if you hold Chitzav, it's like you're still connected to it. You're still burning it. It's Koach Adam. So his answer is, it is Koach Adam, but it's all front-loaded. Meaning, it's as if everything that happened later happens the first minute. He can give a different answer. We'll talk about it next week. So then everything happened there of Shabbos. I mean, so if it's now, still it's going to burn, for the next 2 hours. All the 2 hour burning is all, concentrated into now. I'll read the language, I think. But I want to talk about next week, just to finish up, Eshem Shem Chitza in other areas of Halak. I said we had a Motzeach. What about Shechita? What about Atilas Yadayim? What about Shabbos, because that's part of the assumption here. Right? Let's say there's a famous tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Why it is in the discussion of the Shulchan Aruch, if you, leave a candle in a place where the wind can blow it out, a Ruach Metzuya. So why isn't that the equivalent of Eshem Shem Chitzav? You're harnessing, you're putting it somewhere where Ruach Metzuya will do a malacha. Why isn't that integrated into your... It's an interesting question. So we'll talk a little more and finish this up next week.